and that she was traveling with Jesus and his disciples as he was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. We also find out in Luke 8, it says these women were helping to support them out of their own means. Mary was providing resources, perhaps money, food, to Jesus and the work he was doing. So I think it's safe to assume she was one of his followers and that she was his friend. She was invested in and devoted to Jesus. And Mary's devotion to Jesus is evident in the accounts of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection. I'm sure if you've been reading the different accounts this week, you'll have seen Mary's name mentioned. So in John 19, we learn that Mary Magdalene was present at the foot of the cross. In Mark 15, we read that Mary Magdalene watched Jesus die from a distance, and she saw where Jesus was buried. In Matthew 27, it states that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Mary was present. Mary was with Jesus right until the end. All four Gospels describe how Mary Magdalene found the empty tomb and was the person Jesus appeared to first. And the most detailed description is the reading that Anita and Andre read to us this morning in John 20. Now, before I go any further, I can't speak about Mary Magdalene and the fact that Jesus chose her to reveal himself to first without looking at a little bit of historical context. In Jesus' time, women were not able to testify in court. They were not viewed as credible witnesses. Jesus broke the status quo. The fact that Jesus chose to reveal himself first to Mary Magdalene and the other women with her was no accident. He revealed himself to a group of people that society would not expect. And so as I continue, just remember this message of hope is for each one of us. No matter who we are, no matter what society says about us, this message is for us. Jesus died on the cross and rose again because he loves every single one of us. So, back to the passage. And as I think about Mary Magdalene, I can't even begin to imagine the emotion, the pain, the confusion that Mary would have felt in that moment. She'd just watched her friend, her rabbi, die on the cross, and she'd returned to the tomb to carry on anointing his body, showing devotion to him, even in his death. And as she turned up, it was empty. She didn't know where he was. And as I was doing some research about this passage, one article pointed out that I hadn't really appreciated the fact that Mary was so distraught that when angels asked her a question, she didn't even bat an eyelid that it was angels. She just responded to them, well, I don't know where Jesus is, where's his body? Whereas when we read about angels appearing to people in other passages, it's that awe and wonderment. But she just responds to them. And she was so overwhelmed with her grief that she did not recognize her friend Jesus standing right next to her. She thought he was the gardener. Now, I don't know about you. I'm sure we've all been there where we've bumped into somebody that we don't quite recognize. We can't quite place. We've all had that moment where we've seen a teacher in a shop. Because in our heads, teachers live at school, don't they? That's where they live. And you go, oh, and it's that bit of moment. But usually, 9 times out of 10, we tend to remember where they are. Fee and I were out for coffee the other day and bumped into somebody I knew from my old church, and I panicked to go, oh, I can't remember his name, and eventually just bit the bullet and was like, oh, this is Fee, this is James, and just took that moment. But I did recognise him. It took me a while, but I did recognise him. But Mary didn't. She was even looking for Jesus and didn't know it was him. And the moment she realised was when Jesus said her name, Mary. In that moment, Mary recognised Jesus' voice and Jesus called her directly by her name. It was a personal encounter. Jesus could have chosen to appear in that first moment to a big crowd of people and just gone, hello, I'm back, here I am. But he didn't. He chose in those first encounters to appear to his friends, those devoted to him, in real personal encounters. He picked moments and places that were significant and mattered to them. And for Mary, Jesus appeared right in the midst of her grief, in her pain and despair. And what that encounter demonstrates to us in such a powerful way is that Jesus is hope. That he's with us exactly at the place we're at. Whatever that may be, he knows us personally and he calls each one of us by our name. And the hope that Jesus brings to us, it's not just a fleeting hope when things are hard. It doesn't just pop up, goes, here I am, and then goes. It's a constant hope. It's a hope that we know in Jesus, knowing who we are and who God is. We've sang this morning, he's our living hope. It's constant. And in verse 17 of John 20, Jesus said to Mary, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." What's Jesus saying to Mary in that moment? Things are different. Things have changed. It's no longer the same. Before I went on the cross, it is different. Jesus is now the risen Saviour who's conquered death and sin for each one of us. And because of that incredible sacrifice, we can come to God directly. That temple curtain that was the physical separation between man and God is now torn in two. We are in a new covenant with God, just as Jesus shared in the Last Supper. And this hope that he brings to each one of us is an eternal hope that goes beyond the grave. When we personally accept the sacrifice Jesus made on the cross and receive his Spirit, we are co-heirs with Christ. My Father and your Father, my God and your God. Mary was no longer just friends with Jesus, but a child of God. And we read about this in Romans 8. And I'm going to read a couple of verses 15 to 17, but from the Message, because it was just such an amazing translation of it. It says, "This resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, 'What's next, Papa?' God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we're going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. Jesus' sacrifice means we are forgiven. We can have a direct relationship with God. And we can live in the assurance that Jesus conquered sin and death through his ultimate sacrifice. He is our eternal and everlasting hope. We can call God Papa. We can approach him with a bold confidence and live knowing that we're God's children. What an incredible victory that is. And what did Mary do with that knowledge when she saw Jesus? She went and told the other disciples. She was a witness. In a society where she was told she couldn't, she was able to be a witness. So when we think about this encounter between Jesus and Mary, we know that Jesus is hope. He calls us personally by name. And the hope he brings is everlasting and eternal. Mary was devoted to Jesus, followed his commands, and spread the good news of his resurrection. And my question to you this morning, on Easter Sunday, do you know Jesus as your personal risen Saviour? Have you personally accepted the sacrifice that he made for each one of us? If you haven't and want to find out more, come speak to me, come speak to Darren, speak to one of the leadership team, speak to the person next to you, speak to somebody. Because this incredible hope of Jesus is for each one of us. It's for us collectively, but importantly, it's for us personally, that we can live in that hope, that we can live because of the victory Jesus made on the cross and rose again. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you call us each by name, that you know us so personally